Take your Bible and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, and let's stand together for the reading of the Bible this morning. You look like you need to stretch. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles 24. I know I went through a lot right there, but these are exciting times, and we want to be ready, and we want to be prayed up as well. 2 Chronicles 24, and today I'm going to speak to you on this subject, learning from a child. How can we learn from a child? You know, in my life, so many times, children have challenged my faith. Sometimes we get kind of old and crusty and faithless, but children have great faith. And we're going to learn from a 7-year-old child in the Bible this morning. Let's read about this. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 1. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Zibiah of Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. By the way, that was never God's will, polygamy, but it was indicative of the time in which they were living. We'll see that in a moment. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, Go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter. Howbeit, the Levites hasten not. And the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses the servant of the Lord and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, had broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord, did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest, and they made and until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought unto the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. Well, this is a wonderful story. I think it's going to challenge your heart as it has mine. Let's ask God to bless it today, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word, the way it guides us, and even today, the way a child will teach us. So, Lord, would you speak to each of us this morning? I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, perhaps the greatest work of Solomon, the king of Israel, was when he built the temple in Jerusalem. Many of you recall the story. David prepared for the building, but Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem. After Solomon's death, the kingdom of Israel was divided into 2 different categories. During Solomon's life, Saul, David, and Solomon were reigning over a united kingdom. But after Solomon's death, there was a divided kingdom. Some of you have studied about the divided kingdom. And that divided kingdom had 10 tribes to the north and 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, to the south. The northern tribes had their kings, and the southern tribe had its king. And the Bible speaks of most all of these kings and literally says of them that they were wicked kings. There were only 3 kings called good kings during this period of time after 914 BC, Asa and Jehoshaphat and Joash were described as good kings. By the way, how many of you are glad that your name is not in the Bible as a wicked person or a wicked king? And, you know, amazing to think of that. But here we have these three good kings. And Joash is listed last, and he is a king of the southern tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Now, what amazes me about this is that at the age of 7, as the only apparent living descendant of Solomon, he is brought into the leadership role, 8th in line from Solomon, as a 7-year-old boy. And the word Joash means given by the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that. In the midst of what is described as mostly wicked kings, there is a 7-year-old boy given by the Lord. Most of us are aware that America is in trouble today. Wickedness is proliferated. The gospel is made fun of. The teachings of the Bible are being rejected. And we need to begin praying that God will bring into our families and even into this Kid City building children who have a heart for God. Children who are directed by the Lord. And this young man, Joash, was given by the Lord for such a time as this. Now, if you want to generally look at children in the Bible, you will understand that every child is a gift from God. The Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." We as Bible believers believe that the fruit of the womb is the reward of God. And that is why as Christians, not as Republicans, but as Christians, we stand against abortion today. You see, political parties can go different ways on different issues, but the Bible never changes. And we stand on the Word of God, which is as a rock unchanging, and our authority. And the Bible teaches us that children are the heritage of the Lord. And so we read in verse 2 of our text that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of his life. Now think of that. Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of his life. How many of you would like to have a child that did right in the sight of the Lord one of the days of his life? Okay, but Joash, I'm trying to tell you, this was a special young boy. You know, in nearly 40 years of preaching and in 35 years at this church, from time to time, I will see a young person, sometimes 6, 7, 8, maybe 10 or 12. And sometimes you can sense the anointing of God on their life. There's something sober. When other kids are laughing at the wrong joke, they're not laughing. There's something about these children that is mature beyond their age. They have interest in spiritual things. They listen to preaching. They periodically say hi to the preacher. They actually have something upon them that, to me, periodically has appeared to be the anointing of the Lord for a specific calling in their life. I believe that Joash was that type of a child. There was something in his life that God was using and God was blessing. And that's why we should all as parents remember that these children have such great potential to make a difference even in our church and in our nation today for the glory of God. Joash began his reign as the temple had been desecrated. They had even taken some of the utensils of the temple and used them to worship Baal. They had desecrated this building and torn it apart. And you might say it this way. The grown-ups had messed everything up. Do you ever think about that? I have 11 grandchildren. Sometimes I think about the world they're growing up in. Do you ever think about the fact that maybe our generation could have done a little better? Do you ever think about the world that a 7-year-old Christian child is growing up in today? I believe that Kid City building could be the place where children learn about creation and Noah's Ark and the power of God and the promises of God, and that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sin, and that from a child he will use these children to reach their generation. Well, let's see how he did it with one child named Joash. Notice quickly with me this morning the priority of this godly child. The priority of Joash is seen simply in verse 4. Notice in verse 4 it says, "And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of God." Here we see the priority described to us. Joash was minded. He saw the spiritual condition of his nation, Judah, and he was minded. He had a determination of will. At the age of 7, it was on his mind and heart, he determined to make a difference for the nation. The other night, we were babysitting our two grandsons, Camden and Chandler, and of all things, can you imagine an 11-year-old boy asking me, "Papa, what is the cancel culture? What is the cancel culture?" And at first, I gave him a cursory definition. I said, "Well, that's when people who maybe have a very liberal or even ungodly sometimes mindset will cancel someone's contract or cancel some agreement with someone else who's maybe more conservative or maybe even a Christian." And sometimes we've seen that, have we not, with social media, literally just canceling someone's Twitter account or Facebook account because they are more conservative. And not in every case, but many times they are more conservative because of some influence they've had from this book right here called the Bible. And they are canceled. Their contract is canceled. And then can you imagine that I had to speak to my 8-year-old grandson and say, "Chandler, do you realize that as you become an adult someday, there may be times when you're not picked for something like a job. There may be times when you're not given maybe a promotion. There may be times when someone cancels you or does not like you because you love Jesus and because you believe what the Bible says about certain issues." And I said, "Cancel culture, that's what cancel culture is about. Do you realize that if these boys and girls live for Jesus, what they might face even in America in the days to come?" Come on, somebody help me this morning. Joash understood that this temple needed to be restored for the sake of his country. The people had fallen away from the divine purpose of their national calling. The two kings prior to Joash had turned Judah toward idols. And so Joash was like David, who started the process of the building of the temple some many years before. In fact, I want you to see how this began, just to understand a little bit of the temple's building. Turn back to 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. Just go back a little bit. We'll be right back in 2 Chronicles, but back to 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. And you'll see that Joash is reflecting what David had shown to him. 1 Chronicles 22, 5 says this, "And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical." I like that word. It speaks of the glory of God, of the fame and of glory throughout all countries. Notice what David says. "I will therefore now make preparation for it." Now, David, as many of you know, did not build the temple. Solomon did. But David made preparation for it. And that's why we're preaching this message this morning, so that over the next few weeks, all of us will prayerfully and with planning prepare to make a difference in this offering and with the building of this building. And that's what David did. In fact, notice in 1 Chronicles 29, just go over a few more pages, and notice in 1 Chronicles 29 in verse 3, it says, "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house." So David said, because I have a love for the house of God, I have of mine own, he said, I'm not just asking the people to do this, of mine own proper good, of gold and silver, which I have given to my God. So David had illustrated what it meant. Let's get ready to build the temple. And Joash understood that. And of David's own proper good, he prepared. Folks, please remember, when you get a contract or a job or when stocks increase or whatever the blessing is, every good gift comes from God, and this is our ability that God gives to us to bless back, and so that we might continue the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And so the priority of Joash was to continue the truth in Judah. But notice, secondly, the priority shared. We see the priority described. He minded in his heart, like David of old. But then he shares it. Now notice in verse 5, interesting. He gathered together the priests and the Levites and said unto them, go out unto the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that ye hasten the matter, howbeit the Levites hastened it not. So here's a 7-year-old boy. I told you, let's learn from a child. A 7-year-old boy gathering everybody together. He's calling a meeting. Now listen, he is going to plan a conflict with the status quo. He is going to make a difference with his life and in this generation. And he calls them to take an offering from amongst the people. Now, sometimes it's important for us as Christians to see the New Testament correlation. And so quickly turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's very important to me that when we're talking about giving and planning to give, we're not doing what the preacher said or what some slide said, but that we're responding to the Bible. What does the Bible say about this? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. Notice in your Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, 5. It says this, therefore, I thought it necessary, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go up before unto you and make up before your bounty. The word bounty means offering. So Paul said, I exhorted the brethren that they would prepare the offering amongst you, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now notice in verse 7, every man. In the Greek, that means every man. In other words, Joash said, go out to all the people. And Paul said, every one of us can do something. Let's all have a part. And here we see in 2 Chronicles an instance of a general collection for a building or a repairing of the house of God. And here we have an opportunity to extend our house of worship in a special way for the children of Lancaster Baptist Church who are spread around in modulars all over this campus, to give them a building that will be dedicated to the glory of God. So we see the priority of a child. He was minded to do this. And the priority was shared. Let's go tell all the people how they can be a part. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm saying to the whole church, some are at home with underlying conditions, but their heart is still to capture this valley with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of us can have a part. But notice thirdly, the priority was shunned at first. Did you see that in verse 5? Notice what it says at the very end of verse 5. Howbeit the Levites hastened not. Now these are the spiritual leaders of Judah. They had become apathetic. Listen, they had become worldly. They were watching Balaam on HBO. Come on, help me out. They were not excited about spiritual things. They hastened not. Now, yesterday we had a wonderful deacons meeting. We have a wonderful group of deacons at our church, and I shared with them various training and things for the future of the church. Could you imagine if I shared with the deacons, I said, hey guys, the Lord has minded me. He's put on my mind and my heart. Let's do something for the children. Tomorrow, would you bring some offering plates? We're going to pass some offering plates. And tomorrow, we're going to take a giant step forward for the church. And can you imagine if I said that yesterday, and half the deacons didn't come to church, and half of them forgot to get an offering plate, and the other ones, when it was time for the offering, just kind of walking up like this, and kind of acting like, how many of you remember Eeyore? Remember Eeyore? Oh, boy. Here we go. Got to give money. Money, money, money. That's all it's about. How many think, boy, that might be a little discouraging for pastor? I wonder how Joash felt. The Levites hastened not. Folks, when we come to church 2 weeks from today, let's have a skip in our step. Let's say, Lord, you've been good to me. You let me have that sale. You gave me that job. You blessed me in this area. And Lord, I want to bless you and thank you for how you've done for me. And so we see the priority was shunned, and many people procrastinate. You see, I want you to understand this morning, giving is not a matter of can and can't. Giving is a matter of will or won't. And God has given us a will, and we must pray that His Spirit directs us in the way that we should go. I heard about a little girl that got $2 given to her from her father, and her father said, now, sweetie, you can do anything you want with one of the dollars, but the other dollar, that dollar belongs to the Lord. She said, okay, Daddy. Boy, she was so excited. She took those $2, started running down to the candy store. She was running to the candy store, and on the way there, she tripped and she fell, and one of those dollars went into the gutter down into the stream. She stood up and she said, well, there went the Lord's dollar. Sometimes that's people's attitude. Well, I'll give God whatever is left over. If there is something left over, I'll give it to God. But we see here the priority of a godly child. Folks, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. First, not leftovers. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. Notice, secondly, the plan for the offering. Now, here's a 7-year-old with a strategy. Notice what it is. In verse number 6, the Bible says, and the king called for Jehoiada the chief and said unto him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection? Sometimes the job of a leader is to remind people to do their job. And I had an old pastor tell me years ago, he said, Brother Chapel, he said, the job of the pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And these Levites were just too comfortable. They had gotten lukewarm. They were backsliding. And so a child king says, hey, fellas, remember, we're supposed to be going out and taking this offering. And he says in verse number 6, it's according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord and of the congregation of Israel, for the tabernacle of witness and for the sons of Athaliah. And that wicked woman had broken up the house of God. Here we see the plan. It was a determined plan. Joash had set the course, and now he's reminding them. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And here we see he's challenging them. Don't give up. Let's keep going forward in the work of God. Joash challenged the chief of the priests. Notice in verse number 6, he calls that chief unto himself. He's saying, guys, do your priestly duty. And do you remember what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:5 for another New Testament correlation? Ye also are lively stones built up as a spiritual house, listen, as a holy priesthood, bringing spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus. If you're a believer, the Bible says we are believer priests. Listen, I don't have to go to some priest in a booth and confess my sin. As a believer priest, I can confess my sin straight to Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that? We're believer priests. We can pray to the great high priest, Jesus Christ. And Paul the apostle teaches us, and Peter is teaching us, that when we give, it's a spiritual sacrifice. Philippians 4:18, the Bible says that the offering sent by Epaphroditus was an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. And so it is a privilege when we give to bring sacrifice to the Lord. Now, Joash challenged the priests. He said, guys, let's all get involved. Let's do our priestly duty here. And we are challenged in the New Testament to be believer priests who worship God with our giving. It's not giving to the church. It's giving to God through His church. But notice how Joash does it. Joash creates a giving chest. Look in verse 8. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without the gate of the house of the Lord. I think I have a little picture of a chest. I don't know if this is what it looked like. But when I see the picture of the chest, I can just imagine. Here's a 7-year-old king. He's telling everybody to give. And one of the hardest jobs in leadership. By the way, I used to get sweaty palms when I was going to preach on giving. Some of you might have noticed I've gotten over that. 2/3 of the parables of Jesus dealt with coins and giving and possessions. I've learned that the people who are givers are people who walk closely with the Lord and are blessed of the Lord. And Joash, this young king, challenged people, and he said, here's the box. Now I can hear somebody saying, some Baptist saying, well, we didn't do it that way at our last church. What's this idea with a box, you know? And here's the box, he says. I want you to bring the offering and put it into this chest. Matthew Henry said, the throwing of money into a chest through a hole in the lid of it was a way that they had not used before, and perhaps the very novelty of the thing made it successful and expedient for the raising of money. You see, these cards that we pass out next week or 2 weeks from today, these are just a way, like a box. I said last Sunday night, methods are many, principles are few. Methods may change, principles never do. There are different methods. It might be a box, it might be a card, but the same principle. Hey, if we love God and we believe the children need to know the Lord, then let's be strong and do the work that God has called us to do. And Joash recognized the need to succeed, or else Baal would have the victory. The ungodly influence would continue. Are you aware of what's happening all around us today? Just this past week, the Equality Act was introduced by the Biden administration and coming now through Congress. An act that would require every nonprofit, every church to no longer have a law or to no longer abide by our convictions concerning moral issues, meaning, did you know that most Bible-based churches, not just respecting homosexuality, but fornication or adultery, those sins would preclude someone in a church environment from working on a church staff? Are you all aware of that? Can I get an amen on that? But now there's an act that's being proposed that will dictate to churches like this that we cannot preclude someone who's living in adultery or homosexuality. It would be mandated by the law of the land that we are forced to hire these people who want to come and do whatever work at the church. It's called the Equality Act. Do you realize what's happening all around us? Joash did, and he was only 7. He knew that Balaam was wrong. He knew that those wicked lifestyles were wrong, and he's calling on the adults to make a difference. And some of us need to do what Ephesians 5:1 says and start following God like the children follow God. Children like to go to church. It's their backslidden parents that don't like to go to church. Come on, somebody help me. Children like to sing. Children like to give an offering, especially when it's their dad's money. We need to have the heart of a child. We need to see a change in this country. It was a determined plan, this Joash's plan. Then it was a declared plan. Look at verse 9. And they made a proclamation through Judah. That's what I'm doing today. That's what I did in the Spanish service. That's what I did in the first service. That's what we're doing online. That's what we're doing in service. Hey, I'm proclaiming, hey, everybody in the congregation, 2 weeks from today, we have an opportunity to make a difference. And notice what it says in verse 9, to bring in the Lord a collection. To bring a collection. It's our midway offering. It's our Kid City offering. And can I tell you something? God's commandments come with God's enablements. God's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. Now, over the years, we've seen folks in our church go without new furniture. Some have sold motorhomes. Some have done amazing things. And in single offerings, given tens of thousands, sometimes much more than that. But God enabled them to do it. And they still eat well. They're still blessed. They're glad that they were able to give towards a gymnasium or this auditorium or towards some other classroom building. They're thankful that the buses are going to run again. This is the heart of a giver. It was God's plan that everybody gave in the offering. Sometimes it's a weekly offering. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, such as God hath prospered him. That normally begins with the tithe. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of all the increase. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And then the Bible is very clear. Not only is there the weekly offering, but then there are special offerings like Joash's offering, like the offering in the Corinthian church to send over to the Jerusalem church. And these are called offerings. These are free will offerings. The tithe is already the Lord's. If you don't give it to him, you're robbing from him. The tithe is the Lord's. Let's say that together. The tithe is the Lord's. It's his. The tithe is the Lord's. But something like the Joash, that's an offering. That's a free will offering. In 35 years, we've never written a letter and said, okay, your part, you got to give this much, you got to give this much. First of all, everyone here is blessed differently. Everyone has a different ability to give. It wouldn't be a free will offering if you were told how much to give, but God can tell you if you ask. Sometimes God will speak to a spouse many years, I'll begin to pray about an offering like this one coming up, and I'll come up with what I think is some big, bold figure, and Terry will say, that's not very much. By the way, thank God for a godly wife. Couples need to pray together and work together on these things. Here we see that there was a plan. Then I want you to notice the participation. Notice in verse 10, all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now notice that. All the princes and how many of the people? How many of them? Together, everyone achieves more. All the people, what did they do? They what? Rejoiced. And they did what? Brought in. Verse 10, let's read it together. Get your eyes on it. Ready, begin. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and cast into the chest until they had made an end. The collection was supplied through God's people. It was supplied cheerfully. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, every man as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's okay to turn in your Bible. I checked the sign out front. It says church. It says Baptist church. Baptists believe the Bible is our authority. So let's see what the Bible says about this matter of giving with rejoicing. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When I came to this church 35 years ago this summer, there were a few families here. One of them was the Bill Weibel family. Bill Weibel was a deacon and usher for nearly 35 years. And a few weeks ago with COVID, God called him home. Bill Weibel had a heart for God and a heart for giving, a heart for the ministry. He gave towards the Kid City building. He's not going to walk into it, but he's going to see it from heaven because the Bible says there's a great cloud of witnesses. And by the way, I have never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. You're not going to take it with you. And Brother Weibel knew that. That's why he gave while he was here. Someone said, do your giving while you're living. That way you'll be knowing where it's going. Brother Weibel was a faithful giver while he was here on this earth. He was laying up treasure, according to Matthew 6, in heaven. And this is our opportunity to send some up. It's not wrong to have investments. It's not wrong to have things on this earth, so long as they are meeting the need of your family and fulfilling the mission of the cause of Jesus Christ. But we must always think of eternity. There was a mother trying to teach that to her daughter, and she gave her daughter a quarter, and she gave her daughter a dollar, and she said, honey, I want you to take this to church, and I want you to put whatever one you want to put into the offering. Well, after church, she said, sweetie, what did you put in the offering? She said, well, I was going to give the dollar, but the preacher said that God likes cheerful givers, so I gave 25 cents. That's how some people reason, isn't it? Folks, let's be cheerful about it. Let's be glad. I'm going to tell you, Bill Weibel today up in heaven, he's thankful for every penny he ever gave to Jesus while he was here on this earth. Amen? And every one of us need to have that same spirit. Did you see that they supplied cheerfully? They rejoiced, verse 10. Notice verse 11, it says, now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and high priest's officer came and emptied the chest. They had so much they had to keep emptying the chest and bring it back so people could give more. John Bunyan, who wrote the second greatest best-selling book in the world's history after the Bible, a book called The Pilgrim's Progress, he wrote, a man there was, and they called him mad. The more he gave, the more he had. And God meets the needs of those who give. The collection was supplied. And then notice, finally, the work was started. Did you see that when we read it in verse number 12? The king and Jehoiada gave it as much of the work of the service of the house of the Lord. Notice this now. They hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord and so on and so forth. Listen, folks, what's exciting is we've been giving towards this for a few years, but the new members that give this year and new friends that give this year, we're actually now going to start with construction, HVAC and drywall and iron workers, and it's all going to come together and the crane will lift it all up and bring it in, and we're going to see it with our eyes. Our faith will become sight. The work is about to get started. Oh, what a great lesson to learn from a child. A child that had a spiritual heart and a spiritual mind. The purpose of this child was for the things of God. Do you have a child that's interested in the things of God? Oh, encourage that in them. The plan for the offering? Hey, go out and tell everybody to bring and put it in to the bucket. Well, we never put it in a chest before. Let's just do it with a cheerful attitude. And everyone had a part. The participation, all the people got involved. Now, why would we do that? Why would some of us for more than 30 years be involved in well beyond tithing? Why would we be used of the Lord to build dorms for college students and classes for children and auditoriums for the Spanish and gyms for young people? Why have we done this? What is the motivation for this? What makes those people at Lancaster Baptist tick? There must be some spell upon them. No. Why have we done this? For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when I look to that cross and when I remember what God gave to me, then my response is, Lord, whatever you want, just tell me. Because you've already given me eternal life. And we give because he first gave to us. And meditate on the cross and remember what he's done. We don't give because of guilt. We don't give because of some sad picture. We don't give because of greed. We give because of the grace of God already given to us. And if you're here this morning and saying, well, this has been a little different service. I never heard a Joash or a chest. And Pastor talked about giving. Is that going to be every Sunday? Not really, just a few Sundays a year. But it's a part of the Christian life. And it might not make sense to you because perhaps you've never experienced this lavish love of God. You don't know that your sins are forgiven. You don't know that you're on your way to heaven. You just don't know that. But if you're sitting here this morning and you would like to know that the sin of your life is washed away and that you have everlasting life, the Bible says that whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus died so that we could have eternal life. And if you don't know that for sure, would you let us talk with you about that today? We don't want one penny of your money, but what we'd like to share with you today is how you can know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. After Christ comes into your life, giving to him makes sense. But until then, would you consider the fact that God loved you and Jesus died for you? And would you consider opening your heart to him and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your Savior?